Glory to God. Were you happy to be in church tonight? Glory to God. I don't know if, you know, it doesn't matter where the pulpit is. It always needs to be just a little adjusted. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. Maybe I come in standing a little bit more to one side or the other every other week, but praise God for it. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, I'm excited for tonight's message. It seems like it's been a long time since I've been in the pulpit. I know it really hasn't, but it feels really good to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. God's got a message for us, a message from heaven. I'm just so thankful for what God is putting in me. Praise the Lord, and what He's putting in me for this church and for this people. Amen. Praise the Lord, and I'm glad that you're here tonight to receive. Hallelujah. You came to the right place at the right time. I said you came to the right place at the right time. So if you're here tonight, you're in the right place at the right time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful that God has taught us to build our lives around the Word. Amen. We build our lives around church, around the Word. And you know, we've never been disappointed, have we? Praise the Lord. My family, I can attest to this. I can speak to this. You know, there's been times of trial. There's been times where it was hard plowing. There's times where you didn't know if you could do it anymore. But I'm telling you right now, we have never been disappointed from following and serving God. Amen. And I just see God doing more and more all the time. I get excited for just what He's doing in my life. Praise the Lord. I get excited for all the things that He's doing in my life, in the churches that He has me pastor, and the revelation that He gives me. Of course, all that, and the people that He connects me to. It's just a wonderful thing because He's got great blessing for us. You know, but as a side note, what He does is He blesses us too on the side. You know, He blesses us for our own lives. He blesses us with things that we enjoy, and blesses us. And you know, the more that we get in joy, the more that we see these things. Amen. The more that we get in joy, the more that we'll see the manifestation of these things. Praise the Lord. And I just love doing it. I love being a church family. Hallelujah. You know, there's many people that will say, well, you know, why are you in church all the time? Why do you do that? What are you, you know, what are you doing? Wouldn't you rather be doing this or rather doing that? No, we get good stuff here, don't we? Praise the Lord. We're getting connected. We're getting to things that God's blessing us with. And I can't imagine living another life. Amen. And so if I've got to work and I got to do other things, I might as well go to church too and receive what we get out of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to be, God's people need to be excited about what God's doing in their lives. You know, and when I say in their lives, I mean in every step of your life. Amen. Now I'm speaking, I want you to know, I'm preaching just as much to me tonight as I am you. Praise the Lord. You know, I was stirring myself up in some things today, and you know, God just started revealing things to me, and I just love how God does that as we seek Him, as we endeavor to be close to Him. You know, this came to me earlier, and I wanted to share it with you, but as much as I endeavor to seek Him is as much as He reveals Himself to me. I love that. As much as I endeavor to seek Him is as much as He reveals Himself to me. You know, just as I, you know, sometimes you don't even know where to go. Sometimes you'd be just so torn by whatever's going on around you, or you'd be so tossed by what's going on. You feel tossed, you know what I mean? You feel the winds blowing. You feel the house being, you know, the other night we had a windstorm in Mayville. I don't know if you had one where you were, but we had one in Mayville. And man, when the wind was blowing, it was kind of eerie. It was loud. And it was, you know, I like storms, I like wind storms. I don't know, but that particular night, it just seemed kind of eerie to me. And it seemed like, man, you just really knew that there was something, some opposition outside. Yeah. Amen. Opposition to the structure you're in. Opposition to the, you know, you're going to find out how good your shingles are. You're going to find out how good your siding and your windows are. Praise the Lord. But you know, as I was sitting there, I was strengthened just knowing that I was safe. Praise the Lord. But you know, the same thing is with us. So you know the wind is blowing. It's not a lack of faith to know that the wind is blowing. It's not a lack of faith to have a moment where you're like, ooh, that's some strong wind out there. Praise the Lord. But knowing that you get to the other side, praise the Lord, because you're founded on the rock, that's what matters. Amen. And that's all that should matter. So as much as we endeavor to seek Him, is as much as He'll reveal Himself to us. And I find that this is another area that God does not disappoint. Now listen, you may be sitting there, and I know what you're thinking. You may be sitting there and thinking, I just don't know. Maybe that's just for Pastor Jeff. He just seems to get stuff all the time from God. It must be just him. It couldn't be me, because God wouldn't want to talk to me. After all, who am I? You know, I think those same things. I go through those same thought processes. But aren't you glad that God doesn't leave me there? See, because the thing is I just won't quit. You know, I feel like quitting a lot of times. There's a lot of times where I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. I feel like just quitting on everything. Just tell you the truth. Those feelings come. But whether or not those feelings are allowed to stay is up to me, amen, just like it's up to you. And so when you say quit what? Well, quit whatever's going on at the moment. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I want to quit the day. You ever want to quit the day? Amen. Praise the Lord. But I just press through and decide to I'm just going through the other side. Because you know what? The devil's got me just about as depressed as you can be. I don't mean now, but I'm saying he has in the past. He's gotten me just about as, when you despair of even life, that's just about as down as you can get, isn't it? Praise the Lord. When you're done with it all, when you just can't go any further, that's the most that he had. He gave it to me and it didn't take me out. Glory to God. And so, and it didn't take me out, not because of my ability, but because of God's, and because I've learned to trust in him and learning more to trust in him. You know, it's a lifelong process to learn to fully trust him. Amen. But that's fine. Well, let's just go down that path of learning to trust him. Glory to God. But he's thrown a lot of things at me. He's got me just about as depressed as you can be. I mean, I can't imagine being any more depressed than just at the point of killing yourself, and that's where I was. But you know, God, just like he raised Jesus up out of the dead, I was good as dead, but God raised me up out of the dead, and he set me back on my feet and get me in the right direction, hallelujah, and set me to the right place and under the right people. And because of that, God has blessed me and God has increased me to the point where, you know, the storm still blows, the things still come, and I still look like other humans sometimes. Praise the Lord. My hair still gets messed up in the wind. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not so spiritual that I got a haircut that don't get blown around a little bit. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. It doesn't matter how messy my hair gets. It's like God always provides me with a comb. Amen. He always provides me with a way. And praise the Lord, if it just gets too messy and knotted and rattled, I just shave it off and start over again. Praise the Lord. Because we're still growing hair up in here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. That's free, no charge. I hope you're excited to be in church tonight. Praise the Lord. But tonight's message, now I'm gonna give you the name here in a minute. But when I give you the name, you're going to be like, where the heck did that name come from? And I'm not going to tell you tonight. Praise the Lord. Maybe if you wanted to ask me afterwards, I might feel like telling you. Praise the Lord. But it's just real interesting how this name came. Praise the Lord. But the message came with the name. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called, Do What You Do When You Know You Are Free. See, I had to even think about what it is. Do what you do when you know you are free. Hallelujah. What's God calling us to do? He's calling us to do what we do when we know that we are free. You know, when you know that you are free, you act a certain way, don't you? When you know that you are on, you know, it's just like, the reason people rejoice when they win the winning lotto number, the reason they rejoice is because they're free from that burden of wondering where the money's going to come from. Praise the Lord. And so what do? They rejoice. Hallelujah. And so even though I don't think the message is specifically about rejoicing tonight specifically, but we're called to rejoice always anyways. And again, rejoice. The Bible says, he says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Praise the Lord. So we'll just rejoice and then rejoice again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we're going to do what we do when we know that we are free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh man, I'm just gonna give you a little teaser. Praise the Lord. See, this is why you should have been in church. And we're just gonna say it afterwards. If you're watching by live stream, well, you're not gonna know. Praise the Lord. But somebody told me this. Hallelujah. And all you are sitting here, I'll just give you. If you're interested afterwards, ask me who told me this. Praise the Lord. Who said this to me? And I'm gonna tell you. But it's just a little bit out there for live stream. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And for a recording. So, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We got a message to preach. We better get into it. Amen. Let's turn with me to John 8:36. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're familiar with John 8:31 and 32, but we're going to John 8:36. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm just happy tonight. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. I got a renewed fire in me, a refreshed fire. Glory to God. And if you're smart, you'll tap into that, and you can. You say, well, how can I? Well, number one, you're here. Just stay hungry. Praise the Lord. Just say, you know what? Whisper to yourself right now, Lord, I want some of what Pastor Jeff has got on him. Hallelujah. And it's free to receive because God hasn't anointed me for me. He's anointed me for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm just happy about that. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. I just got revelation of that today. Praise the Lord. That, you know, it matters that we know who we are. Amen. It matters that I know who I am. Now, I know I'm Pastor Jeff, but it also matters that I know that God has equipped me. And if I know that God has equipped me, praise the Lord, and you know that God has equipped me, then you get to get what I get, praise the Lord. And I'll get it because, praise the Lord, because I understand it. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about freedom in these churches. We talk about in our camps, in our faith camp, we talk about freedom. Actually, all the body of Christ talks about freedom. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think people have any idea what freedom really is all about. If they did, praise the Lord, then they would do what you do when you know that you're free. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You would. Amen. You would do what you do. If you knew just how free you were, if you realize, just see, every time you feel bound, that's just the devil trying to tell you something. Yeah. The opposite of what God said. Right. Yeah. But what do we listen to? Amen. We're usually listening to the devil. We're not listening to what God said. Why? Because our reaction, how do we know this? Because our reaction shows us this. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what strikes me as interesting right here, is because it says you shall be free indeed. Now, once you know, I decided to look up that word indeed. Yeah. Amen. You know, it's so funny when I'm studying the word because I know these words. You know, you see the word indeed, and I understand what indeed means. In fact, often somebody will send me a message, and I like using that as a reply, indeed. Like my wife said, I'm glad that we're married and or something like that. And then this didn't exactly happen this way, but I'll say indeed, praise the Lord. A friend of mine, Pastor Scott, y'all know him, praise the Lord. He'll send me a message, say, glad we're friends. Or he'll say, we're friends. That's what he says. He says, we're friends. And I go, indeed, hallelujah. I just said, I understand. I know what indeed means. But I looked it up anyways, amen? Because sometimes God wants to show you more, amen? And if we just take that approach to the word, if we understand that when we open this, we're not just opening the Bible, reading a book, praise the Lord. We are about ready. If you just understood this, you're about ready to have God speak to you. Praise the Lord. The creator of all heaven and earth, he wants to speak to you. He's going to start with his word, and then he's going to run on with that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But when you get down, when you're reading through the Strong's, what the word indeed, I don't know what the Greek word is, but it doesn't matter. But when you get down there, it says this towards the end of it, I believe it was. It says, the opposite of what is pretended. Pretended. The opposite of what is pretended. Hallelujah. The opposite of what is pretended. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, what the heck is that all about? The opposite of what is... See, a lot of people think they're free and they can even go through the motions and say they're free and act, and they act kind of like they're free. They act like what we have perceived one would act like when they are free. In other words, they're pretending. They're not really, you know, they're saying it. They're going through the motions. They got the Christian lingo down, hallelujah. You know, the Christianese. They got the Christianese down. They're saying just what they should say. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But they're not actually set free. Yeah. You know where I see this a lot is I see this a lot in healing lines. Yeah. In healing lines, in churches like ours, you have people coming up and they know exactly what to say. Now, every time there's a healing line, there's certain people that will come up for the same things. And don't you know, they go up there and they know what to say. They may even tell the minister. Have you ever experienced this? Yeah. They'll tell the minister exactly the right thing. Yeah. They're pretending. Yeah. Why? Because if they really had grasp on it, they wouldn't be up there asking. Yeah. They wouldn't be up there pretending. Yeah. They would be walking in it. Amen. Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to come down on people, but the point that I'm trying to make is, listen, there's the concept of faking it until you make it. You know, some people say that, fake it till you make it. Folks, that's not faith. Faking it till you make it is not faith. Learning what faith is and then running after it, that's faith. Amen. I'm not saying lay down your confession. I'm not saying that you reject your confession. I'm not saying that those things don't behoove us. But what I'm saying is we have to decide in our hearts that we want to grasp on what God is dealing with. I want to know, Lord, what freedom is. You know, recently I said to my family, or I think I said to the church, you know, a lot of times when we pray for food. We have a routine prayer we kind of get into, you know, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. And we just kind of rattle it off. Praise the Lord. But you know, the Bible tells us to give thanks for our food. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And this is an area I'm still working on, but it's an area we all need to work on. See, giving thanks isn't just saying, thank you, Lord, for my food. Not going through a robotic message that, you know, some kind of recording or anything like that. No. What we're supposed to do is actually thank God for our day. Thank God for what he's doing. Now, you know, it's just so we get into our prayers like that, but we want to be real about it. Amen. We don't want to just be some pre-programmed. Listen, if we don't have enough time to just simply say, Lord, I'm thankful for this meal that you've placed here right now. Thinking about maybe the people that, Lord, I thank you for the people that prepared this and did it, you know, did it with honor and did it with desire to be a pleasing or whatever. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. You be thankful for it. Amen. That's the opposite of what is pretended. See, when everything else in life, if we're doing things superficially, we're just pretending. Yeah. There's a lot of superficial Christians. Amen. And I'm not saying this to get down on Christians because I'm not trying to bash Christians. But listen, we have to understand the walking the life of faith is not being superficial. It's not being a surface Christian. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. Glory to God. You know, I like to watch different ministries on like YouTube and stuff and different people, especially like street evangelism and stuff like that. It's kind of a thing I enjoy, you know. And one of the things that I realize that I like about it is the people that go out there and do that, those people are as real as it gets. Yeah. Man, they believe it. They're hungry for it. They're not out there trying to get something. They're just out there trying to win people for the Lord. Glory to God. They're trying to get people healed. I love that. Why is that so attractive to me? Until even tonight, I didn't really understand what is going on there that really is drawing me to that. And the fact of the matter is that they're indeed Christians. Hallelujah. They aren't pretending Christians. They are the opposite of what is pretended. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So are we truly free? That's the question, isn't it? Are we truly free? But this is the place that where we have to get free is not, it's not in the areas that we think it is. It's in our minds, praise the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Of course, we understand that that is so important. We might go to that scripture later. But, you know, it is so important that we be transformed. Listen, the transformation, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the transformation happens first in your mind. It's not, the transformation isn't happening out here. I don't want to get into it ahead of time. So let's just turn to Psalm 37:3. Get me in a different direction. We'll come back to that. Praise the Lord. Well, hopefully we'll get back to that. We'll see time permitting. I see it goes pretty quick. You know, time goes a lot faster in Corey than it does in other areas of the country. Psalm 37:3. We're going to read through verse 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. I could spend days on that. Trusting in God is everything. Listen, there's a lot of things that we can work towards, but this is probably the biggest area that we need to work towards. I mean, Christians, this is where we got to keep ourselves. Trust in God. Because it's in that place of lack of trust where the devil always tries to separate us from him. Yeah. That's where sin comes into play. That's where doubt comes into play. All those things comes from a lack of trust in God. And so we have to build trust for God in us. How do we do that? Well, we know by meditating in the Word. We keep going back to the Scriptures. We come back to Psalm 37:3, and we learn it, and we learn it, and we speak it to the Lord, and we say, Lord, what does it mean? Show me what it means to trust you. Help me do this, Lord. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Hallelujah. I just Love that. You know, everything with God's direction, everything with God's faith has action to it. Go out and do good. Let's just do good. Hallelujah. You know, as my wife and I were looking at some scriptures on the way down here, some sharing some things the Lord was sharing with me, and all, praise the Lord. But one of the, in Galatians 6:10, it tells us, you know, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Praise the Lord. To everyone, especially those of the household of faith. But it says, as we have opportunity. And then today, that as I was just meditating in the Word, and I came across that scripture, it really struck me. And it made me realize something. We don't always have opportunity. There's not opportunity. And so we have to make the most of those opportunities. As we have opportunity, let's do good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when there's an open door, let's just endeavor to do it. Let's endeavor to take it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we'll do that a lot more freely if we're trusting God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Oh, there's so much I could go into here, but we're not going to. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. Notice it doesn't say delight yourself also in things. Notice it doesn't say delight yourself also in your spouse. Notice it doesn't say delight yourself also in other people. Delight yourself also in money. Delight yourself also in getting the bills paid. Delight yourself also in having a car that runs. Delight yourself also in a house. It doesn't say any of that, does it? It says delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. This is a battle that most of us, or I shouldn't say most of us fail at, but a lot of people just fail at. They don't, praise the Lord, they don't learn to delight themselves in God. And you know, the thing is when you're happy, you don't need to purpose to delight yourself, do you? When things are going good, when everything was, when you got the winning number, when you got the, when you just got the raise, when you just got the good news, you don't need to forcefully delight yourself in anything, do you? You don't need to think about anything differently, do you? It's easy to be delighted, isn't it? How many know that when you're happy, it's easy to be happy? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Don't you love being happy when you're happy? Yeah. And when you're sad, what do you wish? You wish you were happy, yeah. Right? What's the, that's it. When you're happy, you're glad you're there. And when you're sad, you wish you were. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord. This is not for when we're already delighted in Him. This is not just when we're seeing Him. It's not just because God has poured out something awesome for us right in the moment, or we've seen the prayer answered right now. Delighting ourselves in the Lord is a constant process that we need to take ourselves down when we don't physically see something that we can delight in. Amen. So in other words, you know, James said it this way, praise the Lord. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Hallelujah. And diverse temptation. Something, I got that somewhere, somewhat right. Praise the Lord. Well, if you don't believe me, go to James 1 and you'll find it. But he says, delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be joyful. Like, listen, some people take this wrong. They say, well, for everything bad that happens in my life, I'm going to delight myself. I'm going to rejoice, praise the Lord for it. Now, the Bible does not tell us to praise God for calamity. It does. It says to praise God in calamity, but not for calamity. Praise the Lord. So many people, listen, if you're praising a God for calamity, you are not praising the God that you want to get you out of it. You're not. Because the one who brings, see, this is the thing that people don't get. When you delight yourself in the calamity and the God of the calamity, you're not delighting yourself in the God of the Bible. You're delighting yourself in the devil. Because he's the one that brings the calamity. So we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do we do that? Well, we know. If you know that you win, if you know you won the game, then you'd go in and play it a little bit differently. Yeah. If you knew that you were gonna score real high, you would go in playing it the game totally differently. Amen. Praise the Lord. One who doubts is one who doesn't know that they already win. One who doubts doesn't know that they already have the upper hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And what does it say? And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. Again, here we see this. If you're looking for the desires of your heart, that means you don't have the desire of your heart. It means it hasn't manifested yet. And so the Bible is telling us here to delight ourselves when the desires aren't there, knowing that He will, knowing that He desires to give us our desires. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And see, what so many people do, though, is they the devil starts putting pressure on, and they start looking for the thing. They start looking for the answer. Looking for the answer is always the issue. Because we don't, the answer will always be found in the one who answers. Glory to God. You remember when Elijah said, the God who answers by fire, praise the Lord. Let Him be God. The one who answers by fire. The one who answers it. He didn't say, look for the answer. He said, the one who answers by fire, praise the Lord. We want the one who answers by fire. We want the one who is going to give the desire, to bring the desire, praise the Lord. And so that's the one that we, that's what we seek. We don't seek the thing. We have to get this in ourselves. We stop seeking the things. We stop seeking the end. We seek the one who brings the end, amen? Praise the Lord, glory to God. The problem with most people is they trust in what they see. The problem with most Christians is they act like most people. Let me say that again. The problem with most people is they trust in what they see and only what they see. And the problem with most Christians is they act like most people who are trusting what they see. So much of the church trusts in just what they see. Amen. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. I was going to say this a little later on, but I think it fits in here right now. Christians will come up with reason after reason after reason of why what God says must not be, praise the Lord, what He said or what He meant, or must be something different than what He said. Praise God. Those are Christians that will argue the word and say, well, I don't believe in that because I haven't seen it. I haven't believed it because so-and-so had this happen to them. I haven't believed it because I've been a pastor for 50 years, and this is what I've taught, and this is what I know, and I was raised this denomination or that denomination. Yeah. People will believe everything out here over what is written here. Those are people that will not receive what is written in here. Those are pretend Christians or pretend believers. They're pretending to believe. They're saying, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. What does it mean to believe in God? Let's see, this is the thing. The Bible is very clear. It is not enough to just believe that God exists. It doesn't do us any good to just believe that God exists. Fine, God exists. Great. He says, even a fool says in his heart, God exists. God exists. It's ridiculous to think He doesn't exist. You get no special brownie points for saying that God exists. Praise the Lord, because He does. Praise the Lord. It's like me saying, hey, there's chairs in here. I don't want you to get excited because I said there's chairs in here. Yeah. Well, there's maroon chairs in here. Oh, you're getting really excited now, aren't you? No. It's like, yeah, so what? They're here. Yeah. So what? God exists? Yeah. But what kind of God exists? What does God do? What are His attributes? How do we view this God? What do we look at? Is this God? You know, praise the Lord. My wife and I were talking about these two people that we know. Praise the Lord. Neither one goes to our churches, so glory to God. But we know them, and they are two people that in another life, when I say in another life, in another world or whatever, they in this world, they would actually be great together. They would actually probably encourage each other and be exactly what the other one wants. And these two people are all both seeking that thing. But because of preconceived notions or things that they that aren't completely because of things because they're deceived, they can't see it. Well, at least one of them can't. They can't see it, and that will keep them separate. See, a lot of times because we'll come up with what we think in our head and we stick so strongly to that, we miss the thing that's right in front of us. God has many things for many people. I've seen it. As a pastor now for just 5.5 years, I've seen it where God has something for somebody, and all they have to do is they have to prolong a little bit longer. They have to push through just a little bit further. But guess what? They don't, and as a result, they forego what God has for them. There are people that will live on this earth. They'll plead with God in prayers that will never go above the ceiling. And they'll get to heaven and God will say, this is what I had for you. It was all right there. Everything you wanted. Let's not be those people. Praise the Lord. We're not going to be Christians that come up with reasons why what God says must not be what he said. You know what I mean? Well, God must have meant this. No, when God said, listen, God didn't give us a book so hard to understand. When he said he's a God who heals, just go back to the Old Testament and see what he called himself. Yeah. When he said, when he starts calling himself by his own attributes, yeah, guess what he wants us to know? Yeah. Who he is. Yeah. When he starts saying, I'm the God of peace, guess what? He's the God of peace. Yeah. He wants us to have peace. When he says, I'm the God who provides, what is he? He's a provider. When he says, I'm the God who heals, what is he? He's a healer. Let's not pretend. Praise the Lord. Let's know who God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9. Isn't God good? Yeah. Love the word. I don't know what I'd do without the word. I wouldn't live, that's for sure. 1 Peter 2:9. Love these scriptures. Glory to God. But you are a chosen generation. Whew. A royal priesthood. Ow. Like that. A holy nation, yeah. His own special people. Great. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You are his own special people. Man, hallelujah. I think the King James Version says peculiar. Yeah, I can say that. Praise the Lord. Different, odd. You know, it's I like that special, though. Because that's what we really are to God. We're set apart. We're special to God. Hallelujah. But so many times Christians don't see themselves as special. They don't see themselves as somebody who God has set apart. Yeah. A royal priesthood. What is that? See, all these things, when you have a Christian who's sitting in poverty and lack and going through life, just barely getting by and barely making it, they're a Christian that doesn't know who they are. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says you are his special people. Not that you're going to be. Not someday when you get to heaven, he's gonna all of a sudden do it. You know, isn't it funny that Christians can believe in the power of God at every time other than the church age? And the church age is when we've been given the most authority and power of God that has ever existed. You can hear Christians. I've heard it. I've seen Christians, good-hearted Christians, good apologists. You know, people who explain the word, and they'll sit there and they'll talk about, you know, how things like prophecy have passed away and miracles have, you know, that was only for a certain time to establish the church. And then the church goes powerless the rest of the time they're here? Like, seriously? That's God's big show? How many would love that? How many would stay for the fireworks if they did the grand finale at the beginning?
Right. Come on.
Or in the middle. You wouldn't stay for the end. You'd be trying to get out of there. Yeah. What happens? Have you ever done that? At the fireworks? You ever been to the fireworks and they had the grand finale? And then all of a sudden they pop up one or two more. Ain't nobody watching those. Ain't nobody care about that. Oh, wait a minute. We better stay. No. The grand finale is over. It's over. Let's go home. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God is not giving us praise God. If you look at the word points to the greatest miracles, the greatest things happening in the end times anyways. And we're going to think that in this period of time that God has just left us go without. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. We are God's very own special people. He's looked at us and he said, yep, they're the ones I want. They're the ones I'm going to use. Praise the Lord. You know what happened? Or you know what would have happened if Abraham would have looked at it like that? Well, he must have met somebody else or the ones that came before me. What about if King David said that? What about, just go through the Old Testament. What about all these patriarchs and matriarchs of faith? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. How can people justify Hebrews 11 showing us what they all did to get to in the graces of God and get the things that God was planning for them? How can we look at Hebrews 11 and see all that and sit there and know that that is written for our admonition and then sit here and believe that God doesn't want to do something better in our lives? How can we not believe that we have a better covenant based on better promises, and yet God did more 2,000 years ago than he does today? No, God did more. God wants to do more today, but he needs people that are actually going to be stirred up in faith, that are going to be hungry, that are going to stop saying, you know what, I'm always waiting for it to happen, and just realize that they're the people that it happens to.
Yeah.
When are you going to realize that you're a person that God blesses?
Yeah.
That God has blessed.
Yes.
No, he's already blessed you.
Yes.
See, if you already knew what you're supposed to know, you'd be acting a little bit differently.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. What was the title of the message? Do what you do when you know you are free.
Yeah.
When you know who God has made you to be, praise God. I will give you a little context. The person, praise the Lord, who said that to me, glory to God, getting a kick out of this, because I know you don't, praise the Lord. But the person who said that to me right before they started dancing. Hallelujah. Do what you do when you know, praise the Lord, do what you do when you know you are free.
Hallelujah.
Right before they broke into a Holy Ghost dance and just get excited, oh, praise the Lord. Now, listen, I'm not telling you to jump up in your seats and dance, because you can do that, and that would be fine. That would be great. But listen, folks. Getting up and dancing in your seats when you're stirred up in a service is okay. It's good.
Right.
But it's pretend.
Yeah. Wow.
Because you have to take that out into the world
and
put it to practice before it comes real.
Yeah.
You got to jump up and dance when everything is falling apart. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you know who your God is.
Yeah.
You got to jump up and you got to shout. Listen, we shout praises and it's good. We say amen in church and it's good. But somebody needs to be shouting it when you're at home.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to be shouting it when you got things falling apart in your life.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to be shouting amen, so be it, Lord. Not about the thing, but about what God wants to do. Because
yeah.
Remember, it's not God that takes away. It's not God that gives and takes away. It's the devil that takes away. Amen. God wants to give and give and give and bless. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so if you're his special people, who are you going to give it to if it ain't your special people? You know, this front row here, praise the Lord, I love you all, but this front row here is my special people. Glory to God. And Caleb back there, yeah. Caleb's looking back like, what am I, child liver? I'm back here serving. Yeah, praise the Lord. So you guys, well, here's the thing, though. You guys are parentheses in the, you're sandwiched in the middle, amen? Praise the Lord. You got the special people sandwich right here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But these people are my special people. They get my absolute best. Amen? You should do it the same with your family. You give them your absolute best, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're God's special people. I said we're God's special people. So he wants to give us his best. He's reserved his best. Listen, this is written in New Testament here. Let me see. This is 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. So it's written before 2 Peter, we think. Amen. But it's still 1 Peter, which is New Testament. That means after Jesus was here and left, that means this is the church age.
Yeah.
This is the church.
Yes.
What are we?
The church.
The church. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We're God's special people.
Yes.
The church is God's special people.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Israel was his people, but we're his special people.
Yes.
I said we're his special people.
Yes.
What do you think God wants to do in our lives? What do you think he wants to do in your lives? You are God's special people. He's just waiting for you to recognize that you're special to him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He's waiting to recognize that he's got something for you. Praise the Lord. This is why we can rejoice. Because if we know this, but if we don't know this, we won't rejoice. But if we know this, when we're going without whatever we're going without, we know that it's coming. And no matter what the devil throws at us, it's the best that he has. And if it didn't take you out, it's the best that he has. You think the devil is waiting to throw something really good at you? He's trying to give you the best that he has all the time. Praise the Lord. The best the devil has is nothing compared to the worst that Jesus had. Hallelujah. And nothing he had was worse, but you understand what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. So God has stuff for his special people. We are his special people. The church is his special people. And yet the church is going without the power of God because they haven't recognized who the heck they are yet. Praise the Lord. God wants to do something great in the church. He wants to do something great in this church. He wants to do something great in the Mayville church. He wants to do something great in every church that calls them by the Lord's name. Praise the Lord. That has his name and his book written there somewhere for them. Praise the Lord. God wants to do something great in every one of those churches. And he's just waiting for someone to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm special. Praise the Lord. It matters that we get confidence in Christ. It matters that we know who we are in Christ. And to know who you are in Christ, you have to know that you are special to God. You have to be okay with saying that you are special to God. But what are most people doing? Most people are getting on their knees and they're sitting there like, oh, Lord, I don't know if you want to answer it. If it's your will, of course it's his will because you're special to him. What do you hold back from? Who's special to you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who gets that special somebody? For someone special, praise the Lord. You ever seen that? On Valentine's Day, you get the little heart thing and it has some for someone special. The one who's special gets that. You don't get that to everybody, praise the Lord. Now, everybody's got their special people, but God's got his special people. And he's got your Valentine gift waiting for you, but you got to decide you want to open it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you God's special people? Or are you not? And if you're not, that's fine. You better move on so we can get some more of God's special people in here. Yeah, I'm just saying the truth. Or you make it easy on yourself and just get on board with being special. Praise the Lord. We need to get shirt. We need to do new t-shirts, I think. Praise the Lord. Special people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Extraordinary. Hallelujah. We are God's extraordinary people. You've heard of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I think that's something, right? Yeah, it's not good, probably. No, it's not good. Praise the Lord. I just heard about it. I've never watched it, so I don't know. But we are the extraordinary people. We're a league. We're of extraordinary people. There's things that mark us differently than other people. If we're different, then we got to act different. If we're different, we got to look different. Praise the Lord. We got to look like God wants us to look. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. We need to act like our God wants us to act. Yeah. Listen, as I read through the Bible, I don't see, praise the Lord. I don't see God looking down and saying, I'm going to make the earth as terrible as I can. I'm going to put as much lack in there as I can. No, what did he do? He produced. Yeah. He made things to reproduce. More of its specialness. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Well, I scroll down my notes so I get back to the title. Now I don't know where I'm at. Praise the Lord. We once were not a people, but now are a people of God. The people of God. Praise the Lord. And like I said before, Christians will come up with every reason after reason after reason of why what God says must be different than what he said. And what I mean by that is if it's written in here, they come up with all kinds of scenarios of what God meant, except for what he said. Yeah. Listen, you can sit there all day long. I can say something to you and say, well, what did you mean by that? You ever had someone do that to you? What did you mean by that? I'm kind of guilty of being a perpetrator of those words. What did you mean by that? And start reading into it. What did they mean when they said that exactly? They meant what they said, or they should have. Praise the Lord. Yes, they meant what they said, and they said what they meant. Elephants are faithful, 100%. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What do you mean by that? You see, that's the way a lot of people treat God. They treat God like his word is like, wishy-washy. Doesn't the Bible tell us that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways? So you're telling me God is unstable? So in the Old Testament, he's the God that doesn't change. In the New Testament, guess what he is? The God who still doesn't change. And then he called himself in the Old Testament, he called himself, praise God, he called himself healer. Called himself provider. Called himself protector. Called himself peace. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He had a lot more than that. Called himself present. God, where are you? Right here. The full potential power of God. If you're a believer in Christ, it's right here. Why? Because he's Jehovah. Which one is that? I think is that Sid Canoe, I think? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not Tippy Canoe. No. No, it's like that. It's praise the Lord. Well, whatever it is, praise the Lord. We know that it's in the Old Testament. You look it up. Amen. And then there's many more. Praise God. Hallelujah. But these are the things that he is. He hasn't changed. He still hasn't changed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Philippians 4:11. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:11. Praise God. Look what Paul said here. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Saw something in this scripture this week that I had never seen before or never really thought about before. And that's where Paul said, I've learned to be. He's learned. That means it's been a process. He's learned something. Amen. He's learned to be content. Amen. What do we need to be? We need to learn to be content. How are we going to be content? You know what it is to be content, actually. Praise the Lord. I looked this up, and it literally is the feeling you have when you are satisfied with yourself. Praise the Lord. The feeling you have when you are satisfied with yourself. How is the only way you're going to be satisfied with yourself being in God's will? Following after the plan of God for your life? People will search for every other thing to be, but it will not bring you contentment if you're not fully immersed in the plan of God. Do you know you're in God's will? Praise the Lord. Ask yourself this. When you're starting to feel that discontentment, start asking, am I in God's will? And if you're in God's will, then be content. Knowing that he's producing in you. Listen, again, we look at the farmer. The farmer doesn't get mad when the fruit starts growing because it hasn't gotten there yet. He knows that when it gets there, it's going to be harvest time and it's going to pay out. Praise the Lord. The same thing goes with us. God has promised it. But do we believe it? Or are we those that pretend to believe it? Are we those that sit there and say we believe it, but when it comes down to brass tacks, we don't really believe it? Well, praise the Lord. Most people are not content because they don't know if they are in God's will. Other people will live dumb and happy, ignoring God's will completely or ignoring God completely. I've seen this a lot in Christians who will sit there and say, you know, they don't really want to know. And so they reject it. And when they reject it, they think that they're keeping themselves from any kind of trouble. But the truth of the matter is they put themselves in more. They'll never be content. You'll never be content outside of God's will. Never. Praise the Lord. That's just the truth. And this is what so many people don't understand. There is no human on earth that will be content outside of God's will because we have been made to fulfill God's will. This is our very design. Praise the Lord. It's like, you know, it'd be like trying to pick up rocks with a lawnmower. It just doesn't work, does it? You know what I mean? It might for a minute, but it won't cut the grass very good afterwards. And people are doing the same thing. We are designed for a specific purpose. We are designed, and all our purposes may be a little bit differently. Praise the Lord. But it's found in God's will. And if we're outside of that will, we'll never be content. Guess where being in worry is? It's not being in God's will. Jesus said, do not worry. You can't serve two masters. Therefore, do not worry. Yeah, I love that. He said, do not serve two masters. The very next word is, therefore, do not worry. Praise the Lord. We have to think about that. If we're worrying, we're not serving God. We're outside of the will of God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Not believing, we're not trusting him. Amen. We don't want to be those that live dumb and happy. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to end here. Go to Romans 12:2. We know the scripture, but we love this scripture. Amen. This is the ultimate cure for all of it. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, do something different than the world does. Yeah. Praise God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we do it? We allow our minds to be transformed. Actually, you know, that's what I've always said, but that's wrong. Because the Bible doesn't say that. It says, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our minds, and then we are transformed. See, how people wonder, how do we step into that place that God has? How do I step into that place of healing? You allow your mind to be you allowed yourself to be transformed by renewing your mind to what the Word says. But see, I almost said that wrong again because I've gotten it in me wrong. Praise the Lord, and we want to say it right. We allow ourselves to be transformed. The things in our lives, what's your situation? You allow it to be transformed by renewing your mind. When you renew your mind to the Word, you start understanding that your situation, when you start getting in the Word and start looking at your situation through the light of the Word, this is what I always do. This is what I was doing this afternoon, not for this service, for something totally different, praise the Lord. There was something that was trying to get on me, and I started seeking God. Okay, Lord, what's the answer for this? And He started taking me to Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. And by the time I was done, I had a whole other message. I was wondering, Lord, do you want me to preach this? He's like, yeah, preach it to yourself. Yeah, praise the Lord. Preach it to yourself. God will preach you a message if you'll just listen to Him. He wants my mind renewed so I can be transformed. But until your mind is renewed, it won't be transformed. If you're thinking the way you always thought, or if you're thinking like the world, which is the old way, it's not renewed. So if you're thinking God might not come through, you're not renewed. If you're thinking that I might not make it, you're not renewed. If you're thinking I might not be able to rise above this time, your mind is not renewed. See, it's really easy to know when your mind is not renewed, and it's when it takes you down that path you don't want to be. Remember, delight yourself in the Lord. Why does He tell us to delight ourselves in Him? Because if we're not in delight, praise the Lord, we're not understanding what the will of God is. We're not understanding what God wants to do in us. We need to renew our minds to these things. Praise the Lord. And once our minds are renewed, once we get this in us, once we've settled this in our hearts as an absolute fact, praise God, hallelujah, then transformation is easy. Why? Because just like the Bible tells us, in 1 Corinthians, I think 3:7, it tells us that God is the one who brings the increase. Yeah, the transformation is not up to you. Right. The renewing is up to you. The transformation is up to God. God can do His job when you do your job. But He can't do His job if you won't do your job. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. How do we prove what is that good and perfect? Praise the Lord. How does it say it? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How do we prove that out? By renewing our minds. Praise the Lord. As our minds are renewed, God will cause a transformation to happen. It'll be easy peasy. We won't have to do anything for it. We don't have to make it happen. Praise the Lord. We're just like those people that are who are out there in the field pulling on the corn, trying to make it grow faster. All you're doing is uprooting it. And that's many times what a lot of Christians are doing. They're just uprooting their fields. They're uprooting the planting because they're not doing the thing that they're told to do. Your job is not to figure out how to cause the increase. That is God's job. Actually, as I go through the Word, one thing God showed me even this afternoon, increase is totally not up to me. My job is to labor. My job is to plant seed. But I do not make that seed grow. There has to be a level of faith when I plant seed, knowing, praise the Lord, that it'll come back. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's people that can give into an offering and never increase. How is that? Because they haven't renewed their mind. They're keeping themselves from that transformation. The transformation is what you want. Just renew your mind. You're not causing, well, praise God. But see, this is the thing. In order to do this, we have to let go of some stuff. In order to do this, we have to keep ourselves in a certain frame of mind. Amen. If you are in bondage, you have not allowed yourself to be transformed. Transformation only comes through a mind that is renewed. Praise the Lord. It doesn't come any other way. You can't make it happen. You just have to praise the Lord. You have to follow God. You have to do things His way in order for it to happen. Amen?